I'm Danny Shapiro, and this is The Way We Live Now. Today is day 56, since many of us have been obsessively mopping our floors. And day 16 of this podcast. There's been a lot of joking out there about the pandemic 15. You know, that's the 15 pounds we all will have gained by the time this thing is over. My guest today, food columnist for the New York Times and author of more than 40 cookbooks, may bear some responsibility for that. I'd like to welcome Melissa Clark to the show. Melissa, thank you so much for joining me to talk about The Way We Live Now.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let's begin by telling me, where are you right now? Where are you sitting? What are you looking at while we're talking?
Oh, that's a good question. And I'm glad I went into my office. I have an office in my house. I have a brownstone in Brooklyn in Prospect Heights. And I have an office that has a beautiful view of a blossoming cherry tree. So I'm sitting in my chair looking out at it.
Oh, that sounds lovely. You've been writing about food and creating recipes for over 20 years, and you've given us many well-loved cookbooks. Especially in this moment, I find myself thinking that your 2018 cookbook, Comfort in an Instant, is such a prescient title, or a title that feels prescient now. And I have to confess that my husband and I ordered your book about 5 minutes after ordering an Instant Pot, because we're home and we're cooking all the time.
I'm happy that we're all cooking. I mean, in a way, we're in this together, and this is a really hard time for all of us. But I do find, you know, happiness in talking to people about what they're cooking. And so many people are excited about it. And so they're trying new recipes. You've got an Instant Pot. You know, people are kind of pushing the boundaries on what they're comfortable doing in the kitchen. I feel like we will come out of this as a nation of better cooks. And that is, I mean, not to dwell on silver linings. I'm not really a believer in silver linings, but I'm finding happiness in just that idea. Like, okay, hey, you know, maybe we'll eat better and we'll cook more at home.
And maybe that's a metaphor for even a larger sense of, oh, I don't know, embracing what's real and what connects us and what's elemental and what matters. You know, I mean, one of the things that I've noticed so much on social media during this time, so much is about food.
Yeah.
People are baking seemingly endless loaves of sourdough bread.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's funny because we always connect about food. Food is one of the universals, right? We all have to eat. We all have opinions on it. We all like what we like. So food is something that already binds us. But what's interesting in this time is that cooking is not necessarily the thing. Food is, yes, but so many people never cook. You know, they eat in restaurants all the time and they order in, or maybe they'll make one thing. But now we are all cooking to some degree. We're all preparing food because we have to. You know, if we want to eat, we have to get that food on the table. So it's slightly different and slightly more intense because it's more specific. You know, like food is really broad and cooking narrows that and brings us closer together. And then just like you said, okay, sourdough bread. And then we get even closer together as we're all cooking similar things because we all have the same craving, right? We want hot, delicious bread out of the oven. And if we want that, we have to make it.
That's so true. And listening to you, I'm thinking also that because we can't gather except with the people who are under our roofs, I wonder whether that too is why I've also noticed this huge uptick in so many people are posting videos of themselves actually cooking. It's almost as if unconsciously the impulse is like we're doing it together, even though we can't be, you know, gathered in a kitchen together. Here's what I'm making in my kitchen, and here's what you're making in your kitchen.
Yeah, exactly, because we're all cooking things in our kitchens. So we all are doing that. You know, I mean, not all of us are watching the same shows, and we're definitely all not reading the same books, exercising in the same way, or doing like those things that you have to do, you know, or cleaning the house in the same way, but we're all cooking in the kitchen. So yeah, it's something. And people have been getting in touch with me a lot. They have a lot of questions, which is great. I've been getting a lot of emails, a lot of outreach on Instagram and Twitter. It makes me feel really good. I feel like I can't really help. I mean, but I can help a little bit. And I do think that helping people eat better is what I can do right now. You know, don't you feel like you want to do something? I just want to do something.
Completely.
I don't know what else I can do.
That's what this podcast is. Totally.
Yeah.
It's that feeling of what, you know, what are the things that I can do, and whatever the things I can do, I want to try to do them. What are the kinds of questions that people are asking you?
Well, okay, a lot of sourdough questions. And unfortunately, I'm not the sourdough expert in the house. My husband, I feel really lucky. My husband started baking sourdough bread about a year and a half ago. So we are well established in the baking, which is good. So I can answer some of the questions. I can ask him. But people want to know, the big question I'm getting right now is what to do with the sourdough discard. You know, when you throw out, like, people hate waste. Mm-hmm. And if you work at a big bakery or you're baking every day, there's a lot less waste. Because you're in production, right? So you're constantly using that sourdough. But when you're baking at home, you're going to have to throw out, you're going to feed your sourdough, and you're going to have to throw out a lot of it every day. Especially now that some people are having a hard time getting flour. So there's flour in that, there's leavening, people are having a hard time getting yeast. How can they use it? Luckily, the Times just came out with a big article on 6 things to do with sourdough discard. But I've been pointing people to waffles and muffins and biscuits. So people can find, your listeners can find that article at NYT Cooking and with some recipes. But an internet search will, if you just look up sourdough waffles, you will find lots of recipes, sourdough pancakes and sourdough biscuits. Those are the 3 big things.
Oh, yum.
Yeah. Wow. So that's one question. People also are asking, well, it's funny, you know, we're going through cycles. So we're on week 7, right, of this. And the beginning, it was beans, beans, beans. So I was helping people figure out how to cook dried beans because we all stuck up on dried beans. And then for a while, it was cans of tuna and salmon and anchovies and sardines and pasta. And now I feel like we're getting a little tired of all that. And we want to branch out a little more. I think people have figured out or maybe more comfortable shopping, or maybe I don't know. I think at the beginning, people really didn't leave their house at all. So maybe we're putting on our masks and we're going out and we have a whole chicken, or we're getting a fresh package of ground meat or something. So it's not just the things in boxes that are shelf stable now. It's more about how do I use these fresh things? And people are getting bored and they want to find new ways to use things. So that's been fun for me to branch out a little bit and maybe step away from comfort food and go into more challenging food, but challenging food in a way that's like exciting and can bring a little surprise to dinner time.
Yeah, I love that. It's sort of like a different kind of comfort, right? Like,
exactly.
I remember, you know, I mean, you're in Brooklyn. I used to live in Brooklyn. And I remember after 9/11, every single night for months, I mean, I was one of those one dish cooks, and there was, my specialty was this crazy lasagna that had like every kind of, I mean, it was very, very involved and extremely rich and delicious. And every night I would make these big trays of lasagnas and people would come over, friends, and just want to be together and gather and talk, you know, and again, in not being able to do that and then kind of getting to the end of, okay, if we want to get out of our houses and like, and fit through the front doors, maybe there's another way of doing this. The challenge of taking on something that would feel intimidating or that might have felt intimidating to try, maybe that brings its own kind of comfort or satisfaction.
You know, one thing that we might as well take the opportunity, I think a lot of us cook and we'll cook something like your big lasagna, right? We'll cook something when we're having people over, when we're entertaining. And now we're not doing that. So we have to do it for ourselves. Mm. And this is a really good moment for everyone to ask themselves, what do you want to eat? Not what is fancy to make for a party or exciting to make for a party or what your friends want to eat, but what do you want to eat? You know, that can be really liberating if people can tap into their own desires. I know I have been doing it, you know, on some nights I will make something for myself and something different for my husband and my daughter, because we all, you know, we're pretty aligned, but sometimes I just want something. I want to make a big pot of soupy cabbage with cheese on it. And let me tell you, they're not into it. They don't like my soupy cabbage with cheese. So it's like, you know what? I'm going to eat that for me. And so we're not entertaining, right? So take this opportunity to explore your own tastes and challenge yourself a little bit, because even if it doesn't turn out, you know, you don't have to Instagram it. You don't have to post it. This is your own little secret.
I love that.
I have not posted my cabbage, my cheesy cabbage yet.
I want to see that.
it's a strange one, but it's a good one.
But, you know, what you're talking about is discernment, really. It's like thinking, okay, what makes me happy? What do I crave? What do I want? What's going to nurture me or nourish me? And I think just generally, I mean, our lives have been, the pause button has been hit in such a profound way and in so many different ways. It's like, you know, what do I want to read? What do I want to listen to? How much news can I ingest without it becoming overly anxiety producing? You know, just so many questions. And that's really, really interesting. The what do I want to eat? What do I crave? When you're at home in your kitchen, which I feel like I can see because I watched this YouTube video and I became obsessed with your spice drawer. I just want you to know. I've ordered tins from Amazon.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes.
Great.
No, we are. Now, we are.
This is a good time for organizing your spices.
Completely. And we are tackling it inspired by your spice drawers. When you're at home in your kitchen cooking, what does that feel like to you? I think some people get very tense when they're cooking or impatient. Or what does it feel like to you when you're just in your kitchen cooking?
I love cooking. I mean, this is why I do what I do. So to me, I always say that cooking dinner every single night is my daily dose of weekend. I mean, it's my joy. It's my relaxation. It's my meditation. It's my being in the moment. Like all of those good things happen to me when I cook. Mm. And I try to encourage people, because I know a lot of people feel like that, like this, you know, like you're saying, the pressure or the anxiety about cooking during the week, especially when we go back to work, when we're back, you know, rushing around. But then they like to cook on the weekends or they like to cook for a dinner party. And what I try to get people to do is, if you like cooking a little bit, then you can love it as long as you give yourself permission to make cooking dinner on a weeknight or any time you do it, cooking dinner your time, right? Don't make it a pressured time. Don't make a time when, you know, you're going to give yourself over to a bunch of different things. Take that time for yourself in order to let yourself have the joy, right? So what does that mean for you? For me, that means I am going to bring my family into the kitchen with me. And my daughter will either be doing her homework or reading and hanging out or helping me, but not usually helping me. My husband is going to be, you know, he's there too. Either he's making us a cocktail or pouring us some wine or fiddling with the music to find the perfect music or reading me. So for a while, he was reading me books. You know, we were reading Don Quixote. And so it's like, and it was this just joyful time, but that's me. So find, what does it mean to you? Maybe it's get everyone out of the kitchen and just take that time. It's my own time, your own time. It's private time. Or it's like blare your favorite music and dance around while you cook time, you know, whatever that is. But claim it, own it. Make cooking time your time, and you will find so much more joy in it.
Mm. That's wonderful. So my last question to you is, what else is bringing you comfort these days, aside from cooking? There's no instant comfort to be had.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to find that, Danny. I'm trying to find that thing and I can't find it. I need it and I don't have it. You know, I'm trying to take walks, but with the mask situation and, you know, I live in, it's kind of crowded, so there's no peace, there's no solitude. So it's not, I thought it would be walks, but it's not. I'm trying maybe to do yoga, but I'm not, I don't know. It hasn't, I have not found the thing, and I'm looking desperately for the thing that is all mine. I mean, aside from cooking, which, but you know, that is a joy, but it is, it's something that I'm accustomed to. I need a new joy right now.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, I got into bed in the middle of the day with my book, which I never do. I only read at night. So, and I just got into bed in the middle of the day with my book.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was awesome. So I'm trying to see if I can make that a daily thing. Like, can I read in the middle of the day instead of at night when I'm exhausted? So maybe that's going to be it. So I'm hoping that that's going to be the thing. But I don't know. I'll have to listen to your podcast to find more ideas. Because, you know, it's not like I have a lot of space in the house or a lot of places to walk. So I have to find something within me that I can do in a really small way that can open the world to me in an intense way. And I think reading, if I can just let myself do it again, carve out that time, half an hour a day in the middle of the day, I think that's going to be it. I just have to push myself into letting myself do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I think that we are all feeling that way. This time is sort of forcing us into asking those kinds of questions. And maybe when we're on the other side of this, whatever life is going to look like, we can take some of that with us. You know,
that's, I hope so.
That's my hope too. Yeah. Well, this has been just wonderful and really inspiring to me personally. So thanks for having this conversation with me. And I hope you find the thing.
Oh, thank you. And it was great to talk to you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Way We Live Now. Tell us the way you're living now. We want to hear. Call us on, you might want to get a pen for this, 909-713-8995. That's 909-713-8995. And record your story, and we might just use it on the pod. Also, you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/thewaywelivenowpod. We are creating a community here, and we would love for you to join us. You can find me on Instagram at Danny Ryder. The Way We Live Now is a production of iHeartRadio. It's produced by Lowell Brulanti. Beth Ann Macaluso is executive producer. Special thanks to Tristan McNeil and Tyler Klang. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.